An entrepreneur is someone who sees an opportunity, can understand what the risks are of that opportunity, and can paint a path forward that's to the benefit of all.
Welcome to STEAMcast, where STEM and the arts collide. I'm your host, Dan Kostelic, and together we're going to have conversations with the brightest lights and rising stars in the fields of science, technology, engineering, the arts, and math. Exploring the world that we live in, the science that makes it all possible, and the art that makes it interesting. This is Episode 5, a sit-down conversation with entrepreneur and engineer Bob Bojanic. Bob is the co-chair of the annual Project Fibonacci STEAM Leadership Conference and is involved with various community foundations and nonprofits with a focus on education and youth development, such as the Project Fibonacci Foundation, where he is a board member. He and his wife, Kathy, are the founders of the Shoreline Group, which funds selected nonprofit endeavors in upstate New York. Our conversation today focuses primarily on entrepreneurship and its relationship with STEAM.
I was an Air Force engineer for many, many years. In a lot of ways, that was the best job in the world. Working for the Air Force, I got to travel, exciting different projects. It was wonderful. And every year, the job changed. So I really had a great time working as an engineer. Unfortunately, BRAC came along. And with the realignment of the Air Force bases, my position was no longer required by the Air Force. So I had a choice. I could move to Washington, D.C., or I could stay in the local community. When I chose to stay in a local community, my options weren't as great as I would have liked, so I had to consider something like entrepreneurship. And ultimately, it was very, very, very successful for me. My friends from the 45th and a couple of other guys we met from NEC started our own business, and that business, over a period of about 15 years, grew from the initial small group of founders to over 600 people.
That's
within
kind
15
of amazing.
Years. Yeah, it was.
600 people. Now, when you were an Air Force engineer, were you a civilian engineer with the Air Force, or were you an officer?
No, I was a civilian. I worked as a civilian. The Air Force is really great to their civilians, so they gave me opportunities that I probably wouldn't have gotten anyplace else. They paid for my master's degree. They sent me to Air War College, so I got to get an inside view of a military strategy, which was really a lot of fun for an engineer. So it was a great job.
So you've been here in the Central New York Rome area since the time you worked for the Air Force.
I've been in Central New York since 1983, and from this area, I've worked all over the world, from Turkey to Europe to the UK. Oh, all across the U.S., lots of time spent at Cape Canaveral in Florida, California, Sacramento, every place in between. So, yeah, I've had a career. I've not done much business, actually, in the Central New York area, but I've traveled from Central New York to all those places.
And where were you from originally, then?
I'm originally from Buffalo, a nice metropolitan
Bills.
Area. Yeah, I'm a big Bills fan. That's a sore point.
I understand. Translating it over into the world of baseball for just one moment, I'm a Pittsburgh Pirates fan
and a
New York Mets fan. So
yeah, all right.
I get you. I get the pain.
Yep.
So what was your specialty as an engineer in the Air Force?
Well, you know, it's actually interesting. When I was with the Air Force, I thought my specialty was engineering. As it turned out, I was a good engineer. I wasn't the most phenomenal engineer, but I was a really good project manager. So as time went on, I transitioned from engineering to more project management. And actually, I found, and you see this in a lot of the students at Project Fibonacci as well, that as time goes on, you find your own path. In my path, while it was originally engineering, it was really more in project management. And you see that with the kids, too. They find different paths through Project Fibonacci.
So you're mentioning Project Fibonacci. They are the sponsor of this podcast, but also how you and I came to meet each other. What made you want to be involved with this particular philanthropic organization?
Well, two things. One, the A in STEAM. I'm a true believer that you need to have a diverse background. You can't be viewed as just a skill-based individual. So if you're just focused on science, technology, engineering, and math, you're missing that very, very, very important, very creative component of design and art. That was the first aspect of it. The second piece was when Andy Droz, the founder of Project Fibonacci, first began talking about it, he emphasized the leadership aspect. So those two aspects together, creativity and leadership, I thought they really differentiated Project Fibonacci from the traditional STEM camps I had looked at throughout the central New York area and actually through much of the U.S. as well. I think that that's a clear differentiator.
Now, in including the arts with that whole STEM basis, how much of a game changer is that?
Well, it really is, because you get to open someone's eyes to seeing something that they didn't expect to see. So a really great example is my son did one of the workshops here, and his workshop was Art and the Algorithm. And what he presented to the students at Project Fibonacci is a very interesting concept. Dan, if I were to ask you, what was one of the earliest forms of algorithm that we use as people today, what would you say?
I would have no idea.
Well, my son presented sheet music.
Okay.
So if you look at sheet music as a form of algorithm, you have operators of different instruments coming together to play an orchestral piece, and you look at the sheet music as their algorithm that they're following. Then he took it several steps farther, and he looked at artwork from an algorithmic perspective. And when I see the students at Project Fibonacci, and I see someone who's got that creative spark, just the way that math and engineering is taught just doesn't really excite them. But then when you mix in that creative aspect of it, it's a game changer. It's a totally different perspective. So I have a strong belief that it is combining the technical skills with the artistic design skills that really makes for a great STEM individual. And then on the top, you clearly need leaders in these fields. So it's not enough to give someone skills training and make them aware of the artistic aspects of what they're doing. You need to allow them to become the leaders that they naturally will become. And that's where Andy's STEAM camp is a little bit different. It overlays a strong leadership opportunity for them. And it's not leadership taught as, this is leadership 101, we're going to start with the Peloponnesian War. It's leadership taught by allowing groups of individual students to come together, find their own synergies, to find natural roles, natural leadership capabilities. I think it's a great opportunity for the kids.
That sums everything up right there, but it's a 25-minute podcast, so we need to fill in some more time. So from the entrepreneurial side of things, how does that fit in your mind, with STEAM? Because some people have said that it could be science, technology, entrepreneurship, arts, and math. Is the entrepreneurship in place of the engineering? Does it go as part of the arts for creativity? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's interesting. I think entrepreneurship is often misunderstood. So from my perspective, entrepreneurship is more about leadership and it's more about attitude than it is about starting a new business or any of those aspects of it. And I'll give you a really good example. So a couple of years ago, I don't know if you remember, Dan, we had Robin Redner mm-hmm. as a speaker, and she was talking about her career, the things that she has done from a sales perspective. And one of the students asked her about being an entrepreneur and painted a relatively negative picture of that as being someone who's only out there to make more money for themselves. And Robin had one of the most eloquent answers to the student that I had heard. What she said was that an entrepreneur is someone who sees an opportunity, can understand what the risks are of that opportunity, and can paint a path forward that's to the benefit of all. In her career, she never said that it was all about, I'm going to maximize the number of dollars I personally make. No, she is going to solve a problem. And in the process of solving the problem, that, yeah, of course, money exchanges hands, and some entrepreneurs become very wealthy at that. But the core function of entrepreneurship is that you have someone who's looking at things, first of all, with an optimistic perspective, can assess the risk, and can find a path through that chaos. I think that's really what it is all about. And you'll find entrepreneurs that are in all kinds of fields, right here in Rome. If you were to ask me to look at the school district, for example, Jake Meese is a great example of an entrepreneur. He took a band program and grew it into one of the state championship band programs. That's entrepreneurship. You can look at any field, and you'll find those individuals who become natural, transformative leaders, and those are entrepreneurs.
I would even expand that to being somebody that wants to work autonomously or even for themselves, regardless of how much money is involved. I want to go do my own thing. Well, by extrapolation, you're now an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely correct. There's as many varieties as of entrepreneurship as any field. So yes, there are many, many different types of entrepreneurs. The one common characteristic I think they do have, though, is they are realistic optimists. If you're a pessimist, you're not going to be an entrepreneur.
But you got to be a pragmatist.
Exactly. That's the two things that have to come together. You have to have that optimistic bent, and you also have to be able to assess the risk and really find a path forward.
Excellent. So with the Project Fibonacci Foundation, the organization has been around for just under 4 years now, have had three major week-long STEAM conferences for high school and college students that come from all over New York State and beyond. Students have gone from Washington and Florida and Maine and France and Georgia. There have been individual day-long events. There have been summer camps involved with school districts. What do you see for its future?
A couple of things. Everything you said is really true. We've seen the conferences grow and grow and grow. First year was a conference in Rome, New York. By the third year, we saw our first suitcase conference in the Fulton area. And we look forward to expanding that to three or four this year, and who knows what it'll be like in 2020. So the conference aspect has certainly grown. So we now do multiple conferences during the year in many different locations. We also have innovation camps. We used to call those drone camps. We realize that we're teaching way more than just drones here. We're teaching innovation. There's Project Fibonacci a robotics club, there's Project Fibonacci coding, there's many different aspects of it, but always with a keen eye towards leadership, because I think that's core to the group. We've had a great partnership with the IEEE. 2018 was the first year of that partnership, and we had two winners to the IEEE Project Fibonacci Epics Challenge, and that was two young ladies from the Albany area. And they've done a great job proposing a solution to a community service organization, Rome, the Rome Hospital Foundation, and that's a lymphedema shoe. So if someone with lymphedema has a problem fitting a shoe over the bandages that they must wear for lymphedema, and the girls proposed 3D printing a shoe that would fit over the bandages. And they were judged by an international group of engineers from the IEEE, and they won. And we actually have a second place winner also. So it's a ukulele a solution. So it's a means to tune a ukulele for people who have a physical disability who might have a problem doing that by themselves. So that's a very interesting, actually, a national, potentially international project in scope.
So for that, do you mean somebody who only has one arm but still wishes to play the stringed instrument?
Well, of course that would be true, but it doesn't need to go that far. Someone who has a disability and may not be able to have the physical ability to tune the instrument themselves.
The dexterity
so
and the fingers.
The dexterity, yeah, exactly.
So you're heavily involved with Project Fibonacci.
Yes.
You are a philanthropist on that. You've helped fund the tuitions of students to attend it and sponsored speakers to attend the summer STEAM conferences. But how did you get to that point from first being an engineer and then an entrepreneur? How did you get into the whole giving side of things?
So when I first retired, the question was, okay, so we're going to settle in this area. We have people that we love and we care for in the area, so it's really important that we stay in the area. But in order to really enjoy the area, it's important that we grow the area. We have more things to do, more fun things that we enjoy doing. The restaurant scene, the bar scene, the coffee scene, all of those things, theater scene. So when I looked at that question, I could get in my car and drive to Syracuse like I have for 30-plus years, or I could say that it's important to develop that in the Mohawk Valley itself. And that's really how I got involved in it, trying to develop things in the Mohawk Valley in my local community. And that's what was really important. And anyone will tell you who's looking at developing a community, it is quite a bit about youth. And if it's about youth, it's automatically about youth leadership, which obviously is a direct path to Andy Droz and the STEAM conferences and Project Fibonacci.
Okay. Now, on another side of that, part of the Project Fibonacci mission is to use STEAM education, the interdisciplinary education model, as a catalyst and driving force for workforce preparedness and developing a better economic base. How do you see that through using STEAM leadership as a way to move forward? How do you see it actually working out?
Well, I also work with Upstate Venture Connect. And one of the things I learned from them is they put out a CEO report once a year. I was really surprised to see in their CEO reports very clearly that small, innovative companies, if you had a multitude of those type of companies, they are likely to play a bigger role in revitalizing a community than trying to land the big tenant companies. So when I'm looking at the question of revitalization, it automatically brings up the question of how do you bring opportunity into the area? And a key way to bring opportunity into the area is through making sure the youth are able to provide the leadership for tomorrow, not just for today, but the leadership for tomorrow. And a lot of that is in STEAM disciplines, it's in entrepreneurship, it's in all those facets of life that allow you to really enjoy living in a community. And I think that that's really critical.
All right. So what does the future have in store for you? If you could jump forward 5 years in time, what do you see happening?
I've joined StartFast in Syracuse, which I'm really excited about.
What's StartFast?
StartFast is, it's simplifying it to say it's an incubator. But what they do is it's based out of LeMoyne College, and they bring in tech companies from around the world, actually. And those tech companies are based in Syracuse for the summer. And at the conclusion of that summer, there's a competition to see who the community would like to fund and who we will mentor going forward and provide additional handholding going forward. It's a mentorship program. It's a funding program. It's many, many things. It's very exciting. And some of the companies I saw at StartFast, Automation Intellect is a good example, really excited me. And I thought that the community working together could actually make an impact on those companies. I'd love to see that extended into the Mohawk Valley. So in the future, I'm looking to see that same entrepreneurial spirit, that same venture fund / incubator / mentoring relationship in the Mohawk Valley. We have things like Thinkubator, certainly through MVCC, that are very successful as well. I like to take that up to another level, working with other investors in the community and see more investment in that type of endeavor. I think that will be my focus in the near term. Yeah, I think that's it, Dan. Between Project Fibonacci, some of the things I'm doing with Youth Philanthropy Council and the Upstate Venture piece, yeah, it keeps me pretty busy.
So you're incredibly focused and driven. Do you rest? Do you sleep? Do you do anything for fun?
Yes, I have a happy place, and if my kids hear this this podcast, they will roll their eyes. I think everyone needs a happy place that they go to. But yeah, I'm fairly active as well. I'm a 30 plus year runner who's had to convert to biking now.
Did you get a Peloton?
I prefer riding outside, unfortunately, in upstate New York. My bike is on the rack right now.
For eight months a year.
not quite that bad. But I do ride my bike indoors. Lots of fun. Yay.
That wraps up today's conversation on Steamcast. You'll be hearing more from Bob Bojanic in a few upcoming episodes that delve more into the entrepreneurial side of Steam, as well as the Smart City of Steam Challenge, a joint venture between Project Fibonacci and Epix and the IEEE. Steamcast is a production of the Project Fibonacci Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit educational organization whose mission is to introduce our youth to a culture of interdisciplinary STEAM learning, teaching them to become creative, independent leaders of community resurgence. You can learn more by going to projectfibonacci.org. Steamcast was written, produced, and hosted by me, Dan Kostelic. You can follow me on Twitter at Dan Kostelic. Technical support is by Andrew Berger. The music in the show is by The Live and Breathe from the album REIT. You can find it on iTunes or wherever you listen to music. Please subscribe and rate the show 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. On Facebook, we can be found at facebook.com/Project Fibonacci. And on Twitter, we are at Pro Fibonacci. That's ProFibonacci. Thanks for listening. Keep moving forward.
Full steam ahead.